How many of you love Jesus this morning? You have your Bibles? I have your Bible. You could show me your phone. If you got it on an app, that's okay. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Who's thankful for the potency of the word of God? Who wants to live by it? Who cherishes the word of God? You know, there's one thing that I don't want us to get used to, in the sense that we just kind of throw it over on the pew or on a chair in the back of the car where the sun catches it all week and it curls up. You ever have that happen before? I want us to be always a church that embraces scripture. I want us to be a church that when we come together to hear the word of God, we realize that this is God's inspired word that went through man and was penned on paper, so that right here in 2018, God would have a word for us that is living, sharper than any two-edged sword. It will cut into us. It will change us. It will adjust things in our life. Who's ready for the word of the Lord today? I'm so excited about all that God has. And we want to take just a few moments to transition into hearing the word of the Lord. As we're doing that, I want you to just quickly turn to Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to pray over you in just a moment. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, there's an interesting verse that I want to read to you. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, it says, blessed, we could also insert in parentheses, to be envied are those who hunger and who thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what, church? They shall be filled. Somebody shout filled. Blessed. You know, when we say, hey, have a blessed day, we're speaking to be envied for, that when somebody sees you, they will see the blessing of God, the characteristic of God in your life, that they would say, hey, I want some of what you have. How many of you want the world to have what you have? Let me tell you what deposits that in us this morning. It's the word of God. It's the living thing. It's not your gift. It's not how charismatic you are. It's not how outgoing you are. We thank you that God gives us that. But it's his word that creates this atmosphere in our life, that when people are hurting and broken, that they would run to the Jesus in us and say, help. Who's thankful that your heavenly Father is here to help you, never leave you, never forsake you? I want you to stand as I read the text again this morning, and then I'll pray a prayer blessing over you. Stand if you can this morning. If you can't, we completely understand that. But we do want to honor the word of God. This will be our text for the next 2 weeks. So we'll just camp out here and live here this Sunday and next Sunday, and we'll see how the Holy Spirit will speak to our heart here in the next few moments. I promise you this, God has not called any of us to come in and warm a seat for a few minutes, leave, and this not be a part of our life. God's going to speak to you today. You ready for it? The Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. Let me read the text again in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. We have it on the screen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Somebody say filled. Now I want you to just stretch your hands up to the Lord this morning. I want to pray over you. How many of you want to be filled today? Father, extend the capacity of our hearts today. We have not gathered casually just to have church again. We've gathered under the presence and the umbrella of a living, sovereign God who loves us, and you're working all things out for good in our lives, though we might understand it sometimes and might not understand it at times. Some come into your presence today very empty. We've dressed it up today. We might have a smile on our face, but there's some that have walked into the presence of the Lord very empty. Life's fallen apart. Finances might be falling apart. Relationship might be falling apart. We have some that have walked in today, Lord, and things are going quite well. They had great devotion time with you this week, and they lived enveloped in your presence, where you spoke to them and they spoke to you, and it was a blessed week. But we're thankful in the moment of moments that you said that you both give and take away, that some weeks will be better than others. And we simply give to you an offering of our week, the good stuff, the bad stuff. and we hang on to the text this morning. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we ask you through the vehicle of your word today that you would fill us up to overflowing, so that in our brokenness and in our aches and in our pains and in our victories and in our defeats, Lord, we will just but spill over onto other people. Father, we approach your word this morning with great anticipation. And we pray over the next couple weeks that you would stamp something on our hearts that would forever change us as individuals. And it would also continue to mark our church as we celebrate and head towards the year of Jubilee. We ask for this in the name of Jesus. And the church shouted as you're being seated this morning. Amen. Who's ready for the word of the Lord? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, we've already read it. It's just going to be a staple text. Matter of fact, it's the only text or it's the only scripture that we're going to be looking at over the next few moments today. I don't even think, unless the Holy Spirit gives me something else, I might cross-reference a scripture, but it won't come up on the screen because I believe with all my heart this is what the Lord has planned for us today. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want to focus this week on hunger. I want to focus next week on thirst. I believe the Holy Spirit would have us put our focus there. So I would like to start with a question this morning. Who's ever been hungry? Who's hungry right now? And I'll ask the secondary question, which we'll visit next week. Who's ever been thirsty? Who's thirsty right now? We are entering a passage of scripture that we would label as the Sermon on the Mount. And this passage of scripture we would also label as the Beatitudes. And Jesus has now saw the multitudes, and you'll have to understand, when Jesus looked at the multitudes, he didn't get distracted with self. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he wasn't taking selfies of him and the multitudes. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he wasn't wondering what he would eat for dinner. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he wasn't wondering how he was going to take care of his family. Everyone was his family. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he always had compassion. Who would believe today the church needs to catch up with Jesus? That when we see the multitudes, we have compassion for the multitudes. And Jesus has now seen the multitudes, and his disciples have joined him. He's a little up the hill right now, and they have seated, and possibly thousands are covering the property. And Jesus begins to speak the words in the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and he arrives at Matthew chapter 5, 6. Blessed are those who hunger. I want to ask a question again this morning. Who's ever been hungry? Now, obviously, when Jesus is sharing this with us, and we'll get into this in a level of depth today, not in tremendous detail, but Jesus was paralleling this hunger and this thirst with something that every human would understand at some level. There are definite stages of hunger. Would you agree with that? As I look on my own life, and as I found a pure definition, or we could say a proper definition of the English word hunger, we could arrive at this. Hunger means a prolonged condition in which insignificant amounts of food are available. Let me read it again. Hunger is the prolonged condition in which insufficient amounts of food are available. I want to read the text again in Matthew 5, 6. Maybe by the end of the day today, you'll have it memorized if you're watching online, if you're with us here on campus. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We're focused today on that first line. Blessed are those who hunger. Shout hunger this morning. I want us to look at it just for a moment, because when I begin to think of the word hunger, and when I begin to think about the human condition, when a human is hungry, we all feel it the same way. Meaning, when you're hungry for physical food and physical drink, you feel it exactly the same way I feel it. Now, here's the reality. We all have different desires in our life. We desire to have different homes. We desire to wear different clothes. We desire to have different cars. We desire to attend different churches. We have different desires. We desire to have 2 kids. Some desire to have 5 kids. Some just have what the good Lord gave you. You understand what I'm saying this morning? We have different desires, but when it comes to hunger and thirst, every human feels it the same way. Who's ever been hungry? You're like, Brian, you keep asking that question, and I'll continue to ask that question because I want to drive the point of Jesus home. He's not talking about a physical hunger, yet we'll use something in the physical to speak to the spiritual you this morning, and that's exactly what Jesus is doing all throughout these wonderful beatitudes of blessing. To be envied are. See, the hunger in the life of a human will affect both the rich and the poor. Meaning, the rich can live very fat. The rich can live with high finance. The rich can dine on delicacies, but we've seen it happen before. As floods and earthquakes move into a zone, how many of you know when the rich can't get food and the poor can't get food, they both feel it the same way? Why? Because they hunger. Because there's an adequate resource to properly have the caloric intake for them to be able to function at the level that they need to function. So it affects both the rich and poor. Here's the deal. The healthy and the unhealthy are both affected when they're hungry in the same way. It feels the same. There's a growling of the stomach. There's a desire for food. It doesn't matter what zip code you live in. When you're hungry, it doesn't matter if you live in the 63010 or the 63050. Hungry people feel it in the physical in the same zip code or different zip codes. Does everybody understand that this morning? Who would agree that hunger in the physical doesn't matter what denomination you attend? It doesn't matter if you're Pentecostal. It doesn't matter if you're Baptist. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic. It doesn't matter if you're Lutheran. It doesn't matter if you're Methodist. It doesn't matter if you're Episcopalian. Here's the reality. When you're hungry, you're hungry. And the church shouted this morning, amen. So Jesus will use something that affects everyone the same way. And he would say in Matthew 5:16, blessed to be envied are those who hunger. How many of you are hungry today? Blessed are those who hunger. I was thinking of this. Political preference doesn't affect us when it comes to hunger. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican. It doesn't matter if you're still trying to figure out what you're trying to be. It doesn't matter. When you're hungry, you're hungry. And when a people group during different catastrophes and different moments, even when our country become hungry together, feeling the same thing, it's amazing what resources will become to begin to come together and what blessing there is in sharing with one another so that all are fed. Hunger is a way of telling your body, fuel yourself. That's why if you would decide today that you're not going to eat for the next 24 hours, who would testify your flesh would throw a fit? Oh no, Brian, that's easy for me. I fast 24 hours. I'll fast 48. Okay, let's go 36 then. Let's go 72. Let's go 4 days in. How many of you, your flesh would not just be screaming? You wouldn't even, who would say 3-4 days without food? Nobody would even want to be in the same car with you. And we're going somewhere with this. I'm not saying go 4 days without food. I'm saying hunger affects us all the same way. Hunger and thirst is a trigger in your body to say your body needs something to survive. You can't live long without food and water. So your body has a mechanism. One of them is hunger. It's where our focus is today, that when your body goes without food, and I think all of us could agree with this, most Americans are fed pretty well. Not all. There's struggle. We have pockets of struggle. We have people who struggle. I'm not talking about having steak every night, but most of us fuel ourselves, and we fuel ourselves pretty well. Most of us don't have three meals a day. We have three meals a day, and then we stop off at Quick Trip between meals. Then we go to the coffee shop over here, and we have another little snack, and we have a coffee. We pretty much, most of us, take care of ourselves at the physical hunger level. Now, you might be going through some things where the cupboard is bare. And I want to tell you, as a local church, we do what we can to help at that level because we have some resources and we have some connection in the community where we could get food. But many of us do not struggle with getting physical nutrients, calories. No, the struggle oftentimes happens at a spiritual level when our spiritual intake of taking in and digesting and ingesting all God has for us is oftentimes secondary because we show up at church already full. I mean, Brian, we had a pretty good week. I mean, life's going okay. But for the most part, we show up and we're full. My question is simply this: are you hungry today? The secondary question would be not, did you eat breakfast? The question would be, where Jesus is driving this thing, is Merrimack Heights Church hungry? Are we hungry for a move of God? Are we hungry for the Spirit to move in? Maybe in ways you're not ready for or prepared for. Not how the Lord blessed you back here, but what the Lord wants to do now. Are we ready for the Spirit of the Lord to pour into us? Am I preaching to a church today that's hungry for the things of God? As I looked through this and just took a few moments, even last night, to pray over this, I was thinking of this scenario in my life. Have you ever had a friend contact you and maybe they were going to run by and have dinner somewhere? I've had this happen before. They were in Arnold for lunch and they're like, hey, send you a text. Have you eaten lunch yet? I'm at so-and-so place. I'm a Lion's Choice guy. I love their roast beef. So I'm putting a plug in for Lion's Choice here. And I've got some guys that I connect with. Hey, let's go have a roast beef. Their fries are amazing and their sweet tea is good. But have you ever been in one of those moments before where somebody invites you? And I mean, you ate just an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. And you say, you know what? I've already eaten, but I can eat again. Who's ever said that before? I mean, I'm not hungry. I'm not dying. And you know what I find oftentimes in my physical life? My hunger is simply just a craving for more food. Brian Kitchen, listen to this, has never been hungry in the physical. Folks, if I ran out of food, I'd go over to my mom and dad's and say, can I have some peanut butter and jelly? I mean, I can get food. I can find food, but I've never been hungry, yet I've had craving. But when I look at the text, blessed are those who hunger, the Bible never said blessed are those who have cravings. Because cravings can change. But the hunger for the church every time we walk into these doors 52 times a year should be a discipline to be hungry for the things of God, a move of God, all the things that we read about in Scripture and we said that he's done, Liz sings it, but I believe he'll do it again. Does somebody believe, because you're hungry enough, that God will do it again? If your family's going through something and you need healing in your life, is somebody hungry enough to believe for 10 people in this room that God will do it again? If your finances are broken and your bank account is depleted and your investments are going away and it twists your brain, is somebody hungry enough to say, I'm hungry to see a move of God in your life, that he'll breathe on what the devouring locust has eaten for you and he'll replenish in the way that he sees in heaven to deposit into your account and into your life and into your kids the things that he sees? Is anyone hungry this morning? It's amazing when somebody's hungry for God. It's amazing when a church is hungry for God. We have a level of it, but we have not arrived. It's amazing when you walk into a revival service where a church is just hungry for God, and there's more hungry than those who have already had a meal. And it's just kind of, yeah, I mean, Brian, I can eat again today. I mean, give us a word. Give us something. I mean, that's your job. That's what the board expects from you. That's what the church. But did you know the church can come to a service and can sit here and we can worship, but still not be a hungry church? Blessed to be envied are the people, the church, the individual who hunger. Who's ever been hungry for the wrong thing? Who's had just a piece more of cake than you should have had? Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The second thing that I see in my life is I've had cravings before, but I've had desire before. Desire means that there's food in the house. Like, we have food in the house today. I promise you, we could whip something up, but we haven't done our big grocery shopping for the week yet. So understand this. We have food at home, but I desire to eat at a particular place after church. Who's ever been there? So it's not that you don't have food, and it's not that you have not eaten. It's not even always a matter of hunger. Sometimes it's just the point of desire. Who just sometimes desires something different? Anyone? There's just a desire. It's like, yeah, I mean, I know I could throw burgers on the grill, but the burgers from this place over here are just really, really good. And then I don't have to fire the grill out and clean all the stuff after and do all that, because my desire is this. And who would say also with desire comes the convenience of somebody else doing the work? I don't want a church that just has desire to look at some other people that do the work. I want to pastor a church that's hungry for the things of God, and they can't wait to jump in and ride the wave of what the Spirit of God is doing. How many of you want to see people delivered and set free? How many of you want to see the Lord bring people broken from the north, south, east, and west? That doesn't come with great desire. That comes with great hunger. Because if God's going to fill some people, blessed are those who hunger. We can crave God and not go after the craving. We can desire God, but choose what we have in the pantry over the delicacy of what he's made for us and served for us, and say, hey, you come this far because of what I've done, and now there's an expectation on you. But we can crave and desire things, and it's still not really coming to this place of truly hungering. The Bible does not say blessed are those who desire in this portion of Scripture. It says blessed are those who hunger. Sometimes we have a true hunger. It's a prolonged condition in which we have maybe not taken part in what God has served for a while at the table. We might be in a season even of drought, and we see the Lord begin to rain. Who is thankful that the grass in the front yard is finally green? Yeah. Somebody's like, I gotta mow it. You know, we complain about like the brown patches that are here, there, and everywhere. And then the spring rains come in. The Lord talks about a ladder rain coming in.
And the spring rains would come in, and it would wet the ground that would grow the grass. Who knows, we can pray for the growth of God to wet the ground of the hard, brittle land of Jefferson County, that we would pray that God would wet the ground of the hard soil that people might be living in, their brokenness, their despair, their sin, and God begins to rain on it, then begins to grow, and we say, God, we've got work to do now. I just kind of wanted you to grow it and mow it and trim it. Folks, if we hunger for God, and we ask him to send what the word of God wants to bring to the church, who knows, he has the capacity to send it, but he's looking for a church that is hungry. Sometimes we can get caught, and when I say we, I mean we. When I say we, I'm never excluding myself from the we. As a pastor, when I say we, I will never exclude myself. I will never stand up here pompous and pious that I don't have things in my own drought that I have to work through. But I am telling you, my heart, Psalms talks about it, is set on pilgrimage. I desire to be more hungry for God coming into this year of Jubilee, 50 years as a church. I desire to be more hungry than I've ever been. And it's a desire and it's a craving. And I think sometimes it'll shift into a hunger. How many of you would just love to see revival break loose on the weekend that we celebrate 50 years? You know what? Let's just go ahead and bypass that. Let's just let revival break out today. I mean, can't God do it today if he can do it in 2 weeks? Can't God do it today if he could do it next week? Because we can get to 2 weeks and say, well, God hasn't moved yet. It could be another 50 years before we see the move of God that we really want to see. Well, here's the reality. Blessed are those who hunger. Somebody in the room shout hunger. For, I'm going to skip thirst right now because we'll look at it next week. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, for they shall be filled. See, we could be hungry for the wrong thing. You understand that this morning? Our flesh, our physical body could be hungry for the wrong thing. And if you feed your body the wrong thing too long, it's unhealthy and your physical man and woman will fall apart. Amen? I mean, that's not rocket science. Genesis even talks about that in the beginning. And it talks about what God has created and what we can eat and what we should stay away from. And even when we move over to the New Testament, there's some categories, there's some things. We don't need to do this under a ton of judgment, but what we need to say, here's the reality. The way you fuel yourself tomorrow morning is partly how your day will go. Right? Let me just use that for a moment. If I wake up tomorrow morning and I have a sleeve and a half of cookies for breakfast with 2 glasses of whole milk, right? And then around lunch, I go down to the snack thing and I get a candy bar too. And then I get a bag of chips for lunch. And man, I just was craving a cheeseburger with extra bacon crispy, please. And then I wanted to catch just a quick snack because I really burned some calories sitting at that desk today working. And I wanted to catch something else, so I go and I slam down a couple drinks, couple sodas, bag of chips, and then I go to dinner and we go all out. We go, yeah, I'm gonna have a little salad, but then I want chicken, and then my wife made an apple pie. Who knows? I can just drive the bad calories up in my life, and then I feel awful all evening and want to go to bed at 6:30. And I'm thinking it's some spiritual condition. Well, it is. The bottom line is sometimes I just feed myself incorrectly. Who has ever done that? Right? Our spirit man and woman works the same way. It is easy for us to feed on what we want to feed on when we want to feed on it. If I could say it this way, sometimes we can treat church gatherings as a snack other than the main meal. It's just a snack. I mean, we just come together, we sing some songs, we feel better, right? Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're going through. I was sharing with somebody, I believe it was last night. How many of you believe, again, that the church is a hospital to fix broken people with the power of Christ? So hospitals don't always look clean. Last time I was in an emergency room, everything wasn't clean. But do we really want a church that is an emergency room? Do we really want a church? Do we really want God? Do we really want the Spirit to begin to bring people into this place so the Lord can clean them up? Because who knows, when we come to Christ, he doesn't clean the fish first. The fish is cleaned after. How many of you are hungry this morning? Who's hungry for a move of God? Who's hungry for the Spirit of the Lord to come? I'm going to ask the band to come just very quickly if you can. Joy, I'm going to ask for you to come, and in just a moment, she's going to pray over us. I want you to bow your hearts. You can put your Bibles down and your notes down. I want you to simply ask over the next minute and a half. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, am I hungry? Am I hungry for righteousness? Am I hungry for my life to get rightly aligned with not just what the Lord wants to do in me individually, what the Lord also wants to do in our church corporately. Amen.